Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Into Van Fleet, and the Rockets make it 3-for-3 against the Grizzlies this season as they come from behind and win this thing 120-118. Jalen Green was spectacular.
One of our better ones for the year, for sure, to be down 13 and kind of claw our way back in the way we did it was impressive.
Doesn't matter, pal. Your Houston Rockets are Southwest Division leaders by 2 games now. 3-0 against Memphis this year. They win the season series over Ja Morant. And he did not pull a gun on them afterwards. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Joe, I wish I paid more attention to this game last night. I fell asleep in the midst of Vikings-Rams. I was a tie-tie little boy. And I noticed on the top screen that the Rockets were down by a sizable amount. I think it was 11. And I said, you know what? At least this game's closer than Vikings-Rams. Switched Rockets onto the big TV. Lo and behold, a dramatic comeback victory.
So what you're saying is you're the reason why the Rockets won the game.
Some are saying that.
It's because you turned on the game, and just like Saturday when you were in the press box for the Texans game, the Houston teams just perform in front of Paul Gallant.
I like it.
I'm just saying.
I like it. It's like going to a strip club but not actually paying any money. Free lap dances for me from the Rockets and the Texans over a couple of days. Hell to the yeah.
I mean, look, you're down 187 with looks like 9:55 here left to go in the fourth quarter is
correct.
When they were down 13.
I think it was like a minute left
in
the third where I said, you know what, like this football game is god awful.
So bad.
Even I'll admit it. Sam Darnold, I think the Rockets are better at football than Sam Darnold. I think seriously, under Ime Udoka, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. I think the Rockets are better at basketball than Sam Darnold is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Amen Thompson could play for the Vikings right now.
I was going to say, Amen Thompson coming off the edge next to Grenard?
Yeah. Honestly, I was thinking slot receiver for Amen Thompson.
Put him anywhere.
A 6'9" slot receiver.
Should the Texans sign Amen Thompson for Saturday's game versus the Chiefs?
All hands on deck. Actually, no. The Southwest leading Houston Rockets need them.
That's true. They do. That was a good win last night. Memphis is obviously a good basketball team to beat them 3 times this year. I don't think Ja played in all 3 of the games, but last night's game,
he has been in the last 2, I think.
Yeah, and what matters the most for last night is just what Jalen Green did. He was phenomenal.
So this is the big question. Is this Jalen Green in the midst of another hot streak, or is Jalen Green figuring it out? Always got to remember, the guy's 22 years old. He turns 23 in a little under a month.
It's hard to say because it was so bad early, and it was poor coaching, and it was a poor organization at the time under Steven Silas. Really, not organization, but a team. Like they were a mess with Silas. Last year we saw baby step improvements. We have March as the sample size. I'll be honest, I kind of lean into figuring it out. With Amen Thompson in the lineup, it feels like they have unlocked the best version of the Houston Rockets, the best version of Jalen Green. It just seems to be going in a much different direction as soon as Amen Thompson entered the starting lineup. So I kind of lean right now to figuring it out over hot streak.
There were a couple of moments in last night's game where I saw some sort of sync between Thompson and Jalen Green. whether it was Thompson blocking a shot at the rim and feeding it to Green, or you also just had this beautiful play with, I want to say, like 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left or so, where Amen Thompson, Steven Adams, and Jalen Green were all involved, and Adams had this unbelievable pass under the rim. But it feels like they are developing some sort of chemistry. You saw them after a couple of big moments in the game, chest bumping each other. You saw them after the game, after the interview that Vanessa Richardson did with Jalen Green, where Dylan Brooks popped in and actually was smiling and happy, which was kind of alarming to see, where they're bumping into each other again. So that could be what's unlocking Jalen Green right now, for sure.
I mean, and you look at the end of the game, too, because the end of the game is really where you saw this core young group really take over. Like, until Fred VanVleet's final free throws, all the points scored from when you're down 108-107, all the points are coming from Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, until those final free throws from Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
And to get it back within, what, 1 point to make it one, or to make it 116, 115 was the Jalen Green layup there with 33 seconds left. Like that play, that's what kind of felt like was the next evolution or question for Jalen Green, is that when it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to closing time, is that going to be the guy that has the ball in his hands? Or is it going to be Fred? And to see him drive to the lane and make that shot, it's a huge confidence booster in what he can be.
He's been more efficient since that loss to the Celtics a couple of weeks ago. He, over his last four games, 33 points on 50% shooting against the Lakers. Took a lot of threes, but he made 41% of them. Against the Wizards, who blow, so take that with a grain of salt, 29 points, 45% from the field, 46% from outside. His last two games, and maybe he's just a Memphis killer, 27 points on 52% from the field, 50% from outside on 4 of 8 shooting. And then last night, I mean, this was his magnum opus in terms of efficiency. I can't remember Jalen Green having a game where he shot 72% from the field. I definitely can't remember a game where Jalen Green shot 83% from three. And I like those games where he's not chucking up a bunch and he's making a bunch. Of course, he's not Ray Allen. He is not a dead-eye shooter. You kind of have to take the bad games with the good games, much like you did with James Harden back in the day. But I'm hoping, that to what you said a little bit ago, Joe, that with Amen Thompson in the starting lineup, things are now all of a sudden opening up for him in a way that you would think they wouldn't, because you would think that Amen Thompson would close things up with him instead of Jabari Smith, you know, outside stretching the court. You feel like it would get more compact and more difficult. It's working.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's just the amount of pressure Amen Thompson can put on the rim as a roller. I mean, there's so many plays that he makes just catching a dump-off pass and going up strong with it and dunking in a situation where I'm like, there's like five guys in the league that dunk, that start where he got the ball, don't dribble and dunk this. I don't know who else does that other than Amen Thompson. And I think a big case, and we saw it a lot last night, is the defensive playmaking from Amen Thompson, getting steals, yeah, getting blocks, pushing the ball in transition. That's really where Jalen Green thrives, and that helps him, I think, get into a rhythm. I think that's part of the reason they seem to have turned a corner together when Amen Thompson gets into the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys, it's the efficiency to have 42 points on 18 field goal attempts. I mean, he gets 11 free throws in last night's game. If you just like compare like the raw numbers to his other two games in which he scored 42 points. So he tied his career high in last night's game. If you look at those games, it took him 13 three-point attempts and 12 three-point attempts to get there, shooting around 50% each time. You know, the free throw numbers are there, but the stuff in the paint is also not as efficient. So just to get 42 points on 18 shots, it's not an easy thing to do.
It feels like an anomaly almost, but it was sure really impressive.
For sure. But I think to the bigger picture of like Jalen Green and like what he can be, and is this an anomaly? There are very few guys in the NBA who are good enough pure scorers to get 42 points on 18 shots. Like even if, I don't know what his ceiling is still, but there are just not a lot of guys in the league that can do that. And it shows you how good he was last night to be that efficient. It was, I think, his best game of his career. I know you asked that in the group chat last night. I would say this is the best game of his career. It's a tie for his highest point total. And it's the first time in which he's done it in a game that matters at all.
Right. And look, they're learning what those are as time goes on. I liked how Ime Udoka singled out Green's defense when asked about what's been different this year after a night where he scored 42 points. Now, this is, I think, the really interesting thing coming out of this game. And I want to give a shout-out to Adam Spillane over at the Texans flagship and for the Associated Press. I even texted him, hell yeah, when he asked Ime Udoka a question that I did not know if we would hear this year. Here it is.
We'll be at the halfway point when this trip is over. You're second in the West right now. Like, what's the ceiling of this team? Like, can this team win a championship this year?
I mean, we can improve vastly still. And that's the good part about it. When you look at, you know, our 12 losses, you could cut that right in half, you know, based on some last, you know, fourth quarter things that happened early in the year, some of the bad losses to Charlotte and Portland and some of the teams, San Antonio and the teams that we felt we should have taken care of business against. And so now we've done really well against the lower record teams and played well against the good teams for the most part. And so I think it's all building blocks, and the confidence continues to grow. But the thing about us as a staff and our team is that we know we can get so much better. And that's why we're excited about where we're at and where we can get to.
What a non-answer. Incredible defense by Ime Udoka.
Yes.
I just like that the question got asked.
Because it's deserved. They're 11-3 against the top eight teams in the West.
That is true.
It's the only team they've lost to more than once in the Western Conference in the top eight currently as it stands is Oklahoma City. Now, they haven't played Denver yet.
Which they will on Thursday.
But they're playing really good basketball against the top teams. They beat the Clippers three times. They beat Memphis three times. They beat Dallas twice. They beat the Lakers. They're 1-1 against Minnesota. The only team that's really caused them problems at the top is OKC. Now, to Ime Udoka's point, they've lost to some dog teams too this season. Like, they little shot at the Spurs there. Even though they
got smoked by the Celtics too pretty recently last time they played them.
But it's, I think the question is deserving of what's the ceiling for this team.
I'm intrigued. I don't know what it is. I think asking about championships, if you're Ime Udoka, you can't answer that. And I do think that this year, definitely not going to happen. Just because, I mean, they're young. They haven't even played in a play-in game yet. You know?
Sure.
We're still waiting on that. But, I mean, that's happening. At the absolute worst, that is happening this year. And it's great to finally have that question asked about a basketball team that over the last couple of years has been fighting and clawing to make you want to watch them. Last night, I wish I had watched them instead of Vikings-Rams. The entire way through, yeah. I shouldn't have given Vikings-Rams an effing second. My gut told me Sam Darnold stinks. He always stinks. He always will stinks, no matter what Kevin O'Connell does. And that's on me. That's on me. And I fell asleep watching it in a very old man moment. An old man kind of night where I got into the backseat of my car and was wondering why the hell the backseat of my car looks so different from the front seat of my car. Like, seriously thinking that was the front seat of my car. And that, those two things last night, I'm getting older. And when you get older, you got to prioritize certain things. And at least Super Wild Card Weekend, the Monday Night Football game, where the Rockets are playing on that same game again, they get big TV.
They do. Because, and you know,
congratulations, Houston Rockets. That's a prestigious honor.
And my gosh, they're just enjoyable to watch. Like, they're
I love them.
They're a fun watch.
They play football.
They're
easy
to root for, the players right now. It's a good television.
Do you like Dylan Brooks yet?
I've come around.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the big win.
Yeah, I like Dylan Brooks.
We got him, ladies and gentlemen. We got him.
As long as he's on the Rockets, I like Dylan Brooks. But I'm in on Dylan Brooks now.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, was Rex Ryan the biggest loser of NFL Wildcard Weekend? We'll discuss. Stay put.
Your home for the college football playoff is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Hey, they must have had a bye week, I heard. I heard they had a bye week.
Hey, some bye week for them.
How was that bye week?
I thought that boy said a bye week. That boy said bye week.
What's going on?
We smoking on that Rex Ryan bye week pack.
Come on, Rhett. How was that bye week?
Oh, I didn't know D'Amico said it.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that.
Very beginning of his speech.
I totally missed that, honestly.
Everybody got after Rex Ryan for his Texans are a bye week comments and doubling down on Sunday. Excuse me, on Saturday before the Texans took down the Chargers 32-12. Who's the biggest loser of wild card weekend? I think there's a chance it's Rex Ryan, Joe. I say that because he didn't just get clowned by the Houston Texans. It's also the desperation with which he is trying to get a gig as a coach, specifically the head coach of the Jets, who don't seem to be interested in him. This was his take on Mike Vrabel being hired as New England Patriots head coach.
Yeah. Successful tenure in Tennessee. He was the coach of the year in 2021. He's 49 years old, will be 50 when next season begins. Rex, what's your reaction?
Hey, man, I mean, hopefully I get to kick this guy's ass twice a year. I don't know what
Just kidding.
Them Jets, huh?
So I'm just kidding, buddy.
maybe your team.
Yeah, but not anyway, my team, yes, but not me personally. Mike Vrabel.
So look, I think he's great on TV. Mm-hmm. No matter what he said about the Texans, blah, 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 the disrespect. I think just like I'm not apologizing for calling them dead men walking, I don't think Rex should have apologized either. I think he should have doubled down. It would have been funny. But he lost the biggest this weekend because that was his big take. 0-1. He wanted the Jets coaching job. It seems he's out.
Yeah.
0-2. And he seems very desperate trying to get that Jets head coaching gig.
It's very strange because like Lewis Riddick, who interviewed for the Jets GM job and has interviewed for a bunch of jobs, like he doesn't do that when he's doing, you know, games or on television, like basically just like publicly begging for a job. So it's, if he doesn't get a second interview, he's definitely number two on my list. Right now he's number two still, actually. I think after last night, Paul, because he probably lost $70 million in the last 2 weeks, I think it's Sam Darnold. I mean, he was on pace to get. Someone was going to overpay. Now, he still might get a $25 million a year contract. But, I mean, 3 weeks ago, Vikings fans were talking about trading J.J. McCarthy for anyone they could, basically, in the NFL. It's like, I saw Vikings fans be like, trade him for T.J. Watt. Bring T.J. Watt to Minnesota, and then Pittsburgh has their quarterback. No, Sam Darnold lost so much money the last 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden last night, you see it on X and everywhere, the ghost video starts popping back up of he's seeing ghosts when he's on the Jets sideline.
Not a good sign when after the game, Kevin O'Connell is saying, quote, it did not work out in the end. That sounds past tense. Also making matters worse, I imagine after a very fun ride this year, Vikings fans who, you might remember after the Vikings kicked the Texans' ass early in the year, we're putting Sam Darnold up on a pedestal acting like he was better than C.J. Stroud. Not a great year for Stroud. Stroud's still way better than Sam Darnold. Paul Allen is the Vikings radio play-by-play voice. I think he is fantastic. Mm-hmm. He has so much emotion, and he also has a good voice. When things hit the fan, you will hear very few play-by-play people who get as angry as Paul Allen did, as he did here, as Sam Darnold took one of many sacks 6 times in the first half. Good God. Here is Paul Allen of KFAN in Minnesota.
And him, Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. Two receivers left, Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it, steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a 5th time.
All he's got to do is pull that thing down and run and get as much positive yardage as he can. There were 5 to 7 yards easy there to be made. We saw Buffalo do this to him all day long because they're not always disciplined in their lanes. But if he pulls this thing down right there, he has a good 5-7 yards, if not more.
Right.
I mean, take what's there.
It's really funny that the color commentator, the voice of reason,
Throw it, man!
My favorite Paul Allen moment was when Brett Favre threw that interception against the Saints in the NFC Championship game back in, I want to say, 2009. And he goes, this is not Detroit! So, yeah, Sam Darnold, a big loser from this weekend in a monetary standpoint and just with what you saw out there. Justin Herbert, for sure, one of the biggest losers of the weekend. Out of 214 quarterback performances in the playoffs over the last 10 years, Justin Herbert ranks 213th in terms of EPA per pass play. Texans defense does deserve a lot of credit. When we'll get into our biggest winners of the weekend, I think there's a case to be made that DeMeco Ryans was one of the biggest winners because now everyone's starting to realize, oh, wow, he's doing this to a lot of the best quarterbacks in the game. But can you guess the only performance that was worse of the 214 performances in the playoffs over the last 10 years?
That smile on your face tells me Rex Grossman.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't always bully you, just like... most of the time. No. Sean, got a guess?
Rex was nails in the playoffs.
So Super Bowl.
Last 10 years we're talking
about. Last 10 years.
There wasn't a Peterman playoff start, I don't think.
Brian Hoyer, Texans Chiefs in a 30-0 loss to the Chiefs in the 2015 playoffs. 214 out of 214. Coming full circle 10 years later.
It did really feel like that was like pick a Bears quarterback or pick a Texans quarterback. Like, we're like the two obvious options. Like,
Yates was good.
Like the one guy that falls below this. Yeah, that's very bad. Russell Wilson's career might be over.
Someone will give him another chance.
You think so?
Someone will give him another chance. I don't know if it's to be a starter, but I mean, if you're Indianapolis and you're Chris Ballard and you love bringing in veteran quarterbacks, why not? Why not Russ?
Saints, if you still don't want to actually
pay anybody,
take your medicine and get under the
Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson reunion in Las Vegas.
I mean,
that would be funny.
Sure. I don't know.
I don't
the
think
relationship
Tom Brady's
of
off on that,
Russ and Carroll, though.
You never know. I mean, maybe like
I feel like most people that don't work with Russell Wilson anymore are happy they didn't work
as
with
someone as someone who covered the Seahawks. It's worth mentioning that Pete Carroll's, I guess, end of tenure with the Seahawks party, Russell Wilson did come.
Okay,
for what it's worth.
Okay,
so theoretically possible. I think Matt LaFleur is a loser from this weekend. I get that the Packers were very injured and that Jordan Love has been injured all year. I just look at the Packers and I think that they're a team that should be doing better in the playoffs. And 100%. I thought they were really sloppy in this game.
And Packers fans won't forgive them for that stuff.
No.
Because of what happened when Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. They had 21 guys on injured reserve the year that Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. So Packers fans don't see injuries as like this ultimate excuse when the last championship they had, like, that's half their team, basically.
Yeah.
Was out.
Yeah. That year was incredible.
Yeah. So, like, it's not really an excuse for them. And, yeah, Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur combo, huge losers this weekend.
The Eagles fan who felt the need to verbally accost a female Packers fan, calling her the C-bomb several times. The guy sucked. There's a lot of Eagles fans like that further and further up in the nosebleed you go. They were close to the very top of the stadium. This man has been banned from the link. Also, the Packers fan will be receiving gear of her favorite team with apologies from the Eagles for what she had to put up with.
And this is the guy that Big Dom hunted down. He found him, apparently.
Big Dom found him?
Big Dom was
the sideline guy for the Eagles, Dom?
Yeah.
He's the sideline security guard.
He's been given the credit.
Okay.
By Eagles people as the guy who identified the vile Eagles fan.
That's not his jurisdiction.
Maybe
right?
It is.
He's the sideline security. What happens in the bleachers happens in the bleachers.
Sean, what are you, from South Jersey or something like that right now? Hey!
You're stepping on
that
turf.
She was asking for it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what exactly falls into Big Dom's job? If he's hunting down, if he's manhunter,
he's
this guy.
He's like a representation of the brand. His job is to protect the brand of Eagles.
Okay, so he's security all-encompassing.
Yeah.
He's Eagle security brand and
he's
all.
He's just like, he's like their mob member, basically.
Whoa.
It's like, if there's a problem, Big Dom solves it. Doesn't
just
matter if
Italian?
It's on the sidelines or in the, maybe. And his name's Big Dom. Like, that's very like.
You don't even know what his last name is.
No, but like, if I watch a mob movie and they're like.
It's like Smith.
And they're like, this is Big Dom. You'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he'll fix things.
One last big loser. The Mike Tomlin era. Look, Tomlin's a very good coach. Wherever he's next, he's going to do well. It just feels like it's time in Pittsburgh, especially when after the game, Steelers receiver George Pickens is doing this.
George, you've been with this offense now for 3 years. Have you seen signs of growth, and how much more does this team still need to grow offensively?
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
George, does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
I didn't know. I didn't hear the first part of that online. I just heard the nah.
Yeah, it's so funny. He's like, yeah, I saw growth. Yeah,
the first one makes it way funnier.
No optimism.
Yeah.
Because it makes it way more honest.
I was honestly like, as it started playing, I was like, this is the wrong clip. Like,
Pickens is an insane person, and the Steelers have had seemingly at least one every year of the Mike Tomlin era, a crazy wide receiver. I do not see how these Steelers go further than where they're at right now. They are kind of stuck in this spot. Russell Wilson is not getting them further next year. You saw the way the Steelers played in December. Their defense was not very good. I think TJ Watt had no stats for a month.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't really know. They're probably in the weirdest spot of almost maybe of any team in the NFL, because they're the only team that's in the middle. Like there's no one else really that is in the middle like this.
They're good, they're disciplined, but
they either just miss the playoffs or they make it and they go home the first weekend.
And where's the upside? Because you could say the Broncos in the same conversation, because the Broncos have a really good defense, but with Sean Payton and Bo Nix, theoretically, there's upside. I'm a little skeptical about that.
The first time they made the playoffs since Peyton Manning was on the roster. Like, that's a huge win for them this
right,
year.
Exactly. Like, no one's criticizing the Broncos for getting killed. But if the Steelers lose like that, especially when you've seen them in the past be competitive against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, you do have to wonder a little bit.
I do feel like Mike Tomlin's going to be there, though. I don't think they're going to make that change.
They are as diamond hands as it gets
among
NFL organizations. I think they've only had four coaches.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Let's just go right into it, Sean. You want to do a little college football six-pack? Let's crack it open, baby.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the...
Time to put down the books and crack open a college football six-pack.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
With Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Let's do it.
Really quick, some breaking Houston Texans news. Texans wide receiver Deontay Johnson has been waived. What did I tell you?
I think it's so funny because, like, all I saw this morning was Texans fans, you got to give him the ball more. Well, he won't even be on the playoff roster.
So, Deontay Johnson, whatever he did to get waived, I do wonder, because they are definitely very hamstrung at wide receiver. All I want to say is, like, all the people who thought he was going to be good, you play too much fantasy football, man. The guy's been on now four teams in less than two calendar years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain point where it's the guy. If he is going, I mean, he has been in an eighth of the NFL in the last calendar year.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. And so, unfortunately,
three catches for his Texans career.
We hit the over. We set the over on it 2.5, Sean.
Not to make it about us.
We hit the over.
We hit the over on catches.
And unfortunately, after having four catches and 28 yards, Cade Stover has also been placed on the injured reserve.
Ooh, that's rough.
That actually sucks. Because he was a, I mean, like you said, four catches. That's like up there with his production. I remember, especially early in the game, I was like, he's the only one that they're getting
in
the ball.
Your fullback.
Yeah.
As the game went on, I thought to myself, you know what? They might have something here. So that really does suck. They are. I don't know who they're going
to
get.
I also was thinking, is this a Dalton Schultz passing of the torch to
Cade Stover?
Cade Stover moment that we're getting.
Did they say what injury he's got?
No, just the email here from the Texans. I haven't seen it. I didn't realize he was hurt. So,
well, there you go.
That's tough.
College football six pack. Everything that we didn't get to touch on yesterday. College football playoff is set after Ohio State's 28-14 win over Texas A&M. They will play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. The Buckeyes, 8.5-point favorites. That game, Monday, January 20th in Atlanta.
feeling nervous. I feel excited.
I'm glad that you feel excited.
I think Notre Dame, well, honestly, it's hard not to. Like, the last time Notre Dame was in the playoff, they got smoked.
I think that sometimes you have a tad of defeatist.
But, like, what has happened
mindset.
In my life with Notre Dame? They go to the college football playoffs or the BCS and they lose by 20?
At least they go to the college football playoffs.
I mean, the most, like, embarrassing, like, thing I've ever done as a fan was have a bunch of people into my dorm room to watch them lose by, what, 25 to Alabama? Had my Manti Te'o jersey on? Gross. Those were not fun times. But this is good times.
For
think,
what it's for,
I think they've got time. I think they've got a great head coach. And I think Notre Dame's gonna be this good as long as Marcus Freeman's.
If we talk about t-shirt fan bases, Joe, again, I'm gonna give you one here.
Yep, go ahead.
I mean, I root for Florida. You've been to two national titles since Florida's been to one. And it's Notre Dame, Indiana.
I know.
With restrictions. No, I mean, appreciate this.
Oh, this I do. This
you got
run
nothing
been,
to lose.
No. This run has been so much fun.
8.5 is a huge line. And look, Ohio State is very talented, probably more talented than Ohio State. But you've got literally nothing to lose in this one.
No, I think that Texas put out a pretty solid blueprint for Notre Dame to follow to beating them.
You're welcome.
I think they did. I think the secondary can hang.
So, Sean, are you rooting for Notre Dame now?
I don't know who I'm rooting for.
I'm rooting for Notre Dame.
We're not friends?
I'm rooting for Notre Dame.
I don't know who I'm rooting for.
I just want friends to be happy.
I don't know who I'm rooting for.
I hate Ohio State.
I hate Ohio State too. I still have scars from the Will Fuller Malik Zaire game from 2015, all right?
I used to not hate Ohio State.
I watched that in a dorm room, and Texas lost 30-3.
Yeah.
Bet they did win the Charlie Strong debut. Shane Buechele, Texas is back!
My favorite game I've ever been to.
That was a fun game. I was there, too.
As a fan, yeah.
That was Is that my first game? Yeah, that was my first time watching a game at DKR.
Man.
Was Texas jinxed, number two in our college football six-pack? Ted Cruz was there at the Texas versus Ohio State game in Jerry World.
Yeah, they got the double jinx.
Jerry Jones was there, too. He got booed. It is, I mean, his house.
Oh, no, I mean, the double jinx is Mattress Mac. Also bet $1.5 million on Texas.
Wait, is he a jinx now?
If you look at his betting record, he loses most of the time.
Well, most gamblers do.
Yeah, but he always seems to pick the losing team, except for like
the Astros.
The two times the Astros won, yes. But
I mean, that's because he picks local teams.
But he always picks the national champion wrong too.
That is true.
He does his Kentucky Derby picks. Not great.
Ted Cruz was there, and I mean, he made that bet with J.D. Vance.
I was going to say, when I saw the bet with J.D. Vance, that's when I was like, this thing is over.
So, I wonder what J.D. Vance gave Ted Cruz. I believe it was beer, and he has to present, and food, and Cruz has to present it to Vance wearing an Ohio State jersey.
Yeah, it's. I think, didn't he ask for like ice cream or something?
I think he
remember
for
being
Bluebell.
Like, this is like the most inconvenient thing you could ask for someone to really transport funny. Over state lines.
It melted. I don't know. But I mean, you can't put it back in the freezer. It just loses its original feel, I guess.
Have an intern come out with some ice packs and drive back to Washington. No, I mean, I don't know if it's the Ted Cruz thing, it's like a fun jinx. It's a fun thing we could all rally behind because the funniest part is that he does it for four different teams, including two that are actual rivals. So, and zero schools that he actually went to. That's the fun part. I think there are other problems more than Ted Cruz, but
maybe Quinn.
Maybe some play calling. Yeah.
Well, speaking of three in the college football six pack, is Quinn Ewers staying
at Texas? No,
he's gone.
He's not going to play for Texas next.
Where do you think he'll go? Gun to your head. Just random. Pick a school.
I think he transfers. And gun to my head, I'll go USC just because they don't have anybody.
Okay. I'm going to go Syracuse.
Although,
we're for Kyle McCord.
I saw Kyle McCord went to the draft, and I was like, a little bit of, if Kyle McCord is going to go to the draft, Quinn Ewers can go to the draft, too.
But what if he goes to Syracuse and plays in a dome?
Yeah. Fran
ACC?
Brown system. Yeah.
Alabama.
Wow.
That would be fun.
Alabama.
Now, would be fun.
I will say, because I think we're all on the same page that we're like, what makes the most prudent sense, dollars and cents-wise, at least for him, is that he goes back because he's probably going to be a day two pick at best. Everyone that is like a real reporter for Texas is like very dismissive of the idea that he is going to go anywhere but the draft this offseason. Now, obviously things can change. His season was still going on until Friday night, so maybe he hadn't gotten the full tamper treatment where he can really look at the offers compared to what a whatever his NFL grade is going to be. But I think he ultimately leaves. But right now, all the blue checks back in the day, all the journos are like, he's made it clear multiple times he's going to the draft.
Yeah, but
it is possible that he just makes what seems like a bad decision as far as the amount of money he can make next year. It's just a chance he's just like, you know what I'm through with? College.
Here's the positive spin zone for Quinn. Theoretically, since I think a lot of people are not looking at him as a top 10 pick, he could end up on a good team.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realistically, like, he's probably still the third best quarterback in this draft.
I think he is three.
That's where I kind of land on, like, I could see it because of Carson Beck going
to Miami.
Yeah, back to school.
Drew Aller, not
going to
be the draft.
Going back to school. Obviously, you watch him play, you're like, this guy's clearly better than Quinn Ewers.
For sure.
As he's not throwing to receivers. And then you have, like, you know, do you think Jalen Milroe has better NFL prospects than Quinn Ewers?
No.
You know, I honestly think Kyle McCord is, like, pretty close to, like, I don't know. Like, that's about Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord range.
Yeah.
Quinn probably has a slight edge just because of, like, pedigree. Because a lot of times they will just default to, like, well, this guy was a five-star. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think they're like third round picks though. Like they're not even. They might not even be third round picks. Like, we might not see a quarterback go from the second pick in the draft to
like day three.
Day three.
That's probably. I think it has happened.
Yeah, it
before.
Has.
Like relatively recently.
But. So, because this is closer to the Kenny Pickett draft than it is anything else, where it's just like mid quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah.
Sanders, I am intrigued by.
Sanders and Ward are better than Kenny Pickett.
Ward,
but it's the gulf in between.
Yes, I agree. All right, a three-pack of a college football six-pack. Sorry, Sean, you're losing Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond.
Yeah, I mean, those are guys you think are going to go to the draft. You know, you watch them play, you're like, these guys are definitely going to the draft. They'll probably need to add at least one portal receiver just to have an established guy in there. But this is the good part, or this is the bad part, I guess, of being really good. Is that you have 10 guys go to the draft every year. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. I remember when zero guys went to the draft every year.
Yeah.
This is way better.
Mac Brown and Charlie Strong. And here we are.
It's way better.
Here we are. Galan and George, he's Joe, Paul, Sean behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call into Texan. You want to weigh in on the Rockets' big win over Memphis? You can. Who the biggest loser was in the wild card weekend of the NFL? Up next, speaking of Shedeur Sanders, guess where Deion could be going? Oh, boy. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You heard me talk about the College Football National Championship, January 20th. Ohio State, 8.5-point favorites against Joe George's Notre Dame Fighting Irish, low-key racist nickname. Texans, Chiefs, the line has actually gone up. It was Chiefs by 8. It is now Chiefs by 9. Saturday, 3:30 at Arrowhead Stadium. I wonder how much further this line will go up. Texans did hold their own until Tank Dell got hurt in that game. Never thought they were going to win, but did you think they could cover? Do you think they can cover a 9-point spread on the road after cutting Deontay Johnson and putting Cade Stover on IR? Dealing with not many receivers right now. John Metchie, kind of hard to trust with the fumble and the drop pass that he had. Are they going to be able to get Nico Collins the ball? Because Nico was rather quiet in that game against Kansas City. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 is how you can bet on the game. Right now, I am definitely thinking about covering the Chiefs actually covering here. But hey, I was wrong on Saturday about Texans Chargers. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So the news for the Houston Texans today, they released Diontae Johnson, a wide receiver who they signed for depth not too long ago. Three catches. Shout out to Sean. Shout out to Joe hitting the over. They set the over under for Diontae Johnson receptions at 2.5. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm glad we hit some bet this year.
His next team will be the fifth team he's played for over the last two seasons. Say someone picks him up on waiver claims. Again, he has played for an eighth of the NFL the last 2 years. And anyone who is excited about that signing, I think you are too into fantasy football.
Well, and even then, like, I probably don't need to worry about him in the NFL anymore, I'm going to guess. Someone's going to have to be really desperate to bring him in. I mean,
UFL coming to a Saturday near you, Houston, yeah. Roughneck, Diontae Johnson?
Yeah. I'm curious what DJ will say when he gets here in a couple minutes. But like Aaron Wilson, Cody Stutes are all tweeting that he was visibly upset after the playoff win over the Chargers. So he's the ultimate me guy. This is what, when we didn't think there was any chance they were going to sign him, this is why. Because he wouldn't go on the field for the Ravens. And so this does not surprise me that they've cut him. No.
Cased over also to IR, which is a bit of a bummer. Now, the big news in football is more of a rumor. But when Adam Schefter lends his name to it, you got to pay attention. It's time for another episode of Playing with the Dallas Cowboys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
So Mike McCarthy's gone. Per Jerry Jones, the decision was mutual. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott is bummed out about it. And the candidates per Adam Schefter to replace McCarthy are Kellen Moore and Jason Witten.
Woo! What a list.
But there is a dark horse that has arrived on the scene. And this is a guy that a lot of people would love to see in Dallas because it would make the Dallas Cowboys, once again, the best reality TV show in sports. Here is Adam Schefter talking about how Deion Sanders is in the mix to be the next head coach.
They have spoken with, amongst other candidates, Deion Sanders. There is a mutual interest there. And I go back to about a year and a half ago when I had a former general manager say to me, watch Deion Sanders. There's a real possibility he may be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there is mutual interest. We'll see if that amps up. But the two sides have talked. They have touched base. And we'll see if it goes anywhere.
For his part, Deion said yesterday that he loves everything about Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah,
I would too. Honestly.
Yeah, there was this video.
It's pretty town.
His first team meeting where he was pretty emotional talking about, but he was excited to be just a football coach and not have to be a dad at the same time. And like not have to do that balance. Like, he was excited to just coach Colorado football. We'll see if he's there.
Could this
I'm not so sure. Like, I don't know how you trade Dak Prescott. Like, you trade him for the first overall. Like, do the Titans take Dak? And you draft Shador? Because it does feel like this is a package deal. The timeline doesn't match, though. Like, I don't know how you secure Shador Sanders, especially with where you're picking. Because it's not like they're picking third.
Dak for the number one pick?
If the Titans will take it, then yeah.
The Titans would take it.
I mean, the Cowboys, the Browns wouldn't take it. It would make sense for the Titans. I hate to say it.
Titans are idiots. They will do it. They will do it in a heartbeat.
Both these teams are like
they don't have a GM. Yeah,
both these teams, you could go, yeah, they would do it. With almost any like wild off-the-wall trade, it's these. The Titans and the Cowboys are the two of the top five. Yeah, they could do this crazy thing.
It's not illogical to think that Deion, Shador, and Jerry say, tell the Titans, Shador is not playing for you. And the Cleveland Browns' solution to their Deshaun Watson problem is trading for Dak Prescott for the number 2 overall pick. And then Dak is the quarterback in Cleveland. They've got their roster in place that they're trying to build with.
I don't know if they'd be able to do it, though, because of the money, because they are paying Dak a lot. And
I know. It's
Watson contract, they're still stuck with it.
For sure. I don't know how it would work.
There'd be so much dead money on the Cowboys, too.
Yeah, that's too.
The thing.
But I don't think Deion takes this without Shador.
I'm with you, and I think something Troy Aikman said last night is another reason that Deion might not take it.
It's hard to imagine. As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, really? I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is covering or whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
Maybe it's semantics. And
he was with Scott Van Pelt there on ESPN.
Hmm.
I disagree. It's a better job than the Patriots job. They have money. And, yeah, the owner might meddle a little bit, but I don't think he's as meddlesome as he's made out to be. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think he talks a lot, and that creates hiccups and annoyances. But I don't know, man. If I could work for any organization, yeah, there's a lot of pressure being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But, I mean, would you rather be a Jets coach, Jaguars coach, Bears coach? No offense, Joe.
No.
I mean, some of the other ones that are available, like, no, this is the job. It's a difficult one, and obviously Jimmy Johnson's really the last good coach that they had, unless you want to say late stages Bill Parcells was. But I think it's still a good job.
I think what they said there, like, it's a high profile job. It just depends on, like, what you are wanting to, like, what you're gonna be allowed to do.
Yeah.
If you tell them, like, I don't believe in Dak Prescott, eat the dead money, doesn't even have to be for Shador Sanders, will they find a way to let you move on from it? Like, will you have say in the organization? It's hard.
I'd want to go to a job. I mean, look, I know Dak gets a lot of crap, but, I mean, Dak last year, MVP numbers. I don't look at Dak as an obstacle. I look at my team toughness as an obstacle. I look at why did the Cowboys get absolutely skull bleeped by the Packers in last year's playoffs. That to me is more of an issue. Some sort of, there's a toughness thing I feel like there that is missing. I don't think it's Dak. Like, Dak is in the middle tier of NFL good quarterbacks. He's not at the top, but I mean, he's better than a lot of quarterbacks out there. I feel like he's just one of those guys that needs a much better team around him. And I think the Cowboys' offensive line, their running game, and a lot of other things have kind of gone downhill in recent years.
Totally agree. Yeah, it's the Cowboys are now maybe the most interesting job just to watch, just because
always
like Kellen Moore is a boring name, but just the idea that it could be Jason Witten is wild.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be a crazy move if they did that.
Yeah, no one else has.
I hate that one.
Has a wilder. You know, the day after they get rid of their coach. No, the day of. The day that they get rid of their coach. They have, oh yeah, it could be Deion Sanders. Or it could be an even weirder choice with Jason Witten. Normally there's only one weird choice that, you know, Schefter or someone legitimate floats out there. The Cowboys, it's like, actually they're all kind of weird choice. It's either Kellen Moore or all weird choices where you go, oh, huh. I guess you could do that, but I don't know who else in the league would make that move, and it's the Cowboys who are always the team that would make that move.
Correct.
Or at least interested in it.
Do we think Jerry Jones is fond of Sam Pittman?
The Arkansas coach? Probably not. Maybe.
I don't know, Jim.
What about Bielema?
So we're just looking at Arkansas guys now?
Former Arkansas coach.
Clint Sterner?
Yeah.
I don't like Clint's, no offense, I don't like Clint's chances at it. Don't like Chad Morris's chances at it.
I still don't know what they're
doing. Petrino, yeah. Maybe. I think you
Petrino!
You bring in Petrino for an interview.
Petrino! Let's do it.
Houston Nutt? Yeah, call Houston Nutt. Who cares?
That would be funny if he goes Arkansas. We'll see what happens. But Deion Sanders, potentially, a Dallas Cowboys coach. It's at least possible.
I kind of need it.
Schefter's reporting it. When I saw it was just Jordan Schultz reporting it, I was like, eh, this kid's Lucky's Berm Club and his dad sucks and took the Sonics out of Seattle and moved them to Oklahoma City. F Starbucks forever. This kid, whatever. But Schefter reporting it. Okay. We'll see. Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Texans Chiefs on Saturday. Let's talk about that. And their beatdown of LA on Saturday. Past one. With DJ Bienname. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle. Because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.